The word esteem has to do with the way you view something. Self-esteem has to do with the way you view yourself. Mm-hmm. It has to do with a sense of self-worth and feeling in some way worthy or worthwhile. A lot of people go through life never really feeling worthwhile. There's an awful lot in life that beats us down, that makes us think we're not beautiful enough, or we're not strong enough, or we're not successful enough, or whatever. And it has a way of making us feel bad about ourselves. The winning Christian life involves positive self-esteem. And positive self-esteem, biblically, I believe, comes from a very different place from where most modern advocates of self-esteem come from. Because they don't have the essential, I believe, they don't really have the essential elements. Some of them sort of get there, but they don't have the essential element or what comes from that. And so, today, advocates of self-esteem may sort of build on a, what should I say, on kind of a fuzzy surface, kind of a fuzzy foundation. You see yourself as a flower opening to the sun, or you have positive thoughts about yourself, and you say nice things to yourself, good self-talk, and I'm all for that, but good self-talk for yourself. But when you really analyze what they're saying, there's really no basis for it except just saying you ought to feel good about yourself. There are others who I think do a little better in that they link feeling good about yourself with accomplishing something worthwhile. I think that's better. But neither of those really gets to the heart of what the Bible identifies, and I believe the Bible identifies what is absolutely psychologically sound as a foundation for positive self-esteem. And there are two biblical foundations, two biblical pillars for self-esteem. First of all, we can have positive self-esteem by nature of creation. It's part of the order of creation that we are worthwhile, and by very creation, we are told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And this is after God has been creating the world and filling it with the creatures that he has created. He then says in verse 27, or the writer of Genesis writes, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." He created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. The image of God is stamped on the very personality, the very being of human beings. And I love the opening chapters of Genesis. Genesis 1 through 3 set the stage for everything else, not just in the Bible, but everything else in creation and in our world. People really are incapable of really understanding what's going on in the world without Genesis 1 through 3. And right here at the dawn of creation, God makes as the pinnacle of creation human beings. You may stand in awe at the power of a hurricane or a tornado. You may stand at awe before the majesty of a mountain. You may be thunderstruck by the beauty of a sunset. You look at the delicacy of a flower. And yet you may, in speaking of all the wonders of creation around you, then turn on yourself and think that you are not worthwhile. But human beings, you are the pinnacle of creation. It was in all of creation, it was only human beings that were said to be made in the image of God. And it doesn't mean that we physically look like him. He doesn't have a physical body. What it means is there's something stamped on the very on our very nature that goes beyond what we look like or how we talk, that is in the image of God. We human beings can reason and feel and create. We can dream and make our dreams become reality. We can love. We can decide. We can make moral decisions. We can make decisions about our lives that sometimes are not for our benefit, but for the benefit of someone else. Human beings are a marvel. Our minds are more complex, quicker, more intricate than the most complex computer in the world. In a split second, we can make judgments about things, and we do this all day long without thinking about it. Without thinking that we're thinking. We are thinking. Because we smell something or we see something, we see an expression, we hear a certain tone, and we make judgments about it very quickly. Human beings are a marvel. The psalmist picked up on that theme in Psalm 8, which we heard earlier. In that psalm, the psalmist celebrates creation, and he celebrates human beings at the pinnacle of creation. He begins by speaking of how majestic God is, how God has shown his glory in creation. He speaks of the wonders of the heavens, the moon and the stars. And then in looking at all this majesty, he then says in verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" Given all this magnificence in creation, why would you give a second thought to little bitty human beings, a little speck on the edge of the universe? And yet you do, and he says, you made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. So not only are we only a little lower than heavenly beings, angels, but we also were given rule under God of all that's on this, all that's in this world. Thomas Carlyle, who was a famous author, was once invited into a group of scholars, and they asked him to give his opinion of the origin and the ascent of man. And Carlyle said, "You take human beings to be a little higher than the tadpole, but I agree with the ancient singer that says that that human beings are a little less than angels." And I think that gets to the heart of it. If we view human beings as just a bit of a kind of an accident in the universe, then where does self-esteem come from? Exactly. But if we start out with the point that human beings were made by God, made by the image of God, and that we are endowed by our Creator with incredible potentials, with incredible capacities to create, to do good rather than harm, then we have started in a very different place. There's a children's chorus that's been around for a long time called "I Am a Promise." I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I can be anything, anything God wants me to be. That's good. Human beings, because we are made in God's image, have a dignity and a worth that is beyond anything else that's in this world. there is nothing in this world that's quite on a par with a human being. And because of that, in Genesis, after speaking of how human beings were made in the image of God, later on in Genesis, the writer of Genesis, records the words of God to Noah, who says that one human being who murders another human being deserves to die because to murder another human being is to strike at the image of God in another person. And why is that so important? Because that gives the person worth beyond anything else in this world. Or later on in the New Testament, in James chapter 3, James is speaking of the power of the tongue, the power of our words, and says that with the power of the tongue, we can bless people or we can curse them. And he says, how can you curse a human being who's made in the image of God? How can you use the words that he has given you to do such a thing? Because human beings are precious, and you are precious before God. Because you are made in the image of God, you have been given capabilities that are just totally mind-boggling and beyond our ability to grasp. Now, they are not unlimited. Some advocates of human potential think that human beings have unlimited capacity. Only God has unlimited, okay? But human beings, I am absolutely convinced, because we are made in the image of God, we have capabilities that are far beyond what we can ever dream of. Don't downgrade yourself simply because you're not working to capacity. The potential is there. You are, in a sense, God's promise to the world with a capital P. You can do incredible good for in the lives of other people, but at the same time you can do incredibly evil things. The capability is there, and we can make decisions, and every day we make decisions. Will we follow God? Will we not follow God? Will we use what we have been given to bless the lives of other people? Will we not? Now, somebody may say, yes, but sin came in and sin messes everything up, and that's true. And some people may think that sin somehow erases the image of God in us. It doesn't. Sin is an intruder. It's not an essential part of who we are. It's an intruder who has come in and, yes, exercises great power in our lives. But it is not. But the image of God is essential to who we are. Sin is not. And while sin can mar the image of God, it cannot destroy the image of God. And in the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 3, there's an extended passage here, and I'll be coming back to it in a moment. But notice verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. In Christ, Paul says, the image of God, the image of the creator, is being renewed in us. Yeah, sin messes things up. We have been given great capacities, and if those capacities are put into the hands of sin, then they can do tremendous harm. But if they are put into the hands of the Creator, they can do tremendous good. And while there's sin in all of our lives, and sin mars the image of God in us, in Christ, the image of God is renewed. He speaks of putting off the old self and putting on a new self. In Christ, there's a new beginning. In Christ, not only are we image bearers, but we become cross bearers. And as cross bearers, we then are renewed in the image of the original creation. Because the image of God is in you, appreciate what He has done. and look to work to your greatest potential. You have mind, you have heart, you have abilities. You can accomplish great things for God in this world if you give yourself into His hands. Work to develop what God has given you. Now, so one pillar of positive self-esteem in the Bible is creation. We were made in the image of God. The other pillar is, as people who were made in the image of God, we can do worthwhile things. Not only are we worthwhile by creation, but we are worthwhile by what we do. Now, that's based on the first, but they go together. Dr. William Glasser, is a psychologist. He developed something called reality therapy. And Glasser, who doesn't write from a biblical point of view, although he's not antagonistic to a biblical point of view at all, Glasser said that the two most basic needs of human beings are to love and be loved and to feel worthwhile to yourself and to other people. To love and be loved and to feel worthwhile to yourself and other people. In Christ, we recognize that we are loved. We are loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Okay? We are loved. We are loved beyond what we can grasp by God. And being loved by God, we then have, and being made in the image of God, we then have the capacity to love. We can choose whether we're going to love or not, but we have the capability of doing it. But one of our needs, Glasser says, is to love and be loved. We are loved. Whether we recognize it or not, we are loved by God. And we can express that love to other people as well. But then the second part of that is to feel worthwhile to yourself and to others. That's where a lot of modern self-esteem falls down. And a lot of ideas of modern self-esteem, it's disconnected from what you do. But the truth is, even as a child knows whether they have done anything worthwhile or not, and whether they're just being given stars or marks or something for something they didn't really do. And it can all become a big joke. They know whether they did anything that was worthwhile or not. Well, we human beings need to know that we've done something worthwhile. Look at Colossians 3 again. And I could read a couple of chapters here, but I'm just going to zero in on part of this. Notice Colossians 3, starting with verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things, in the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all as and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Notice, this passage that I read revolves around the idea of putting something off and putting something on. He uses different language for it, but it's there. Put to death, verse 5. Put off the old self, verse 9. Then on the positive side, put on the new self, verse 10, and then as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with certain attributes, verse 12. So notice, you're putting off something, you're putting on something. You're putting on the old, putting off the old self, you're putting on the new self. And all that revolves around the idea of the image of the Creator being renewed within us. Because the image of the Creator is renewed within us, there are certain things we will not do. Certain actions we won't take, certain decisions that we will not make. At the same time, because we are the image of the Creator is being renewed in us, there are certain things we will do, a certain lifestyle we will live. It is a lifestyle that in which we are worthwhile to ourselves and to other people. We live in a way that's positive, based on the fact that we're made in the image of God, that we have embraced that, we've understood that, and we realize that in Christ and in Christ alone, that image, which was marred by sin, can be rejuvenated, redeemed, renewed. We get a new start. We hit restart, the restart button. And we get another shot at it. But this time, it's not just us struggling along as best we can, but it is us living in the grace of God, empowered by His Spirit, led by His Spirit. And so, not only are we worthwhile because of creation, but we're worthwhile because in Christ we become cross bearers. We bear the cross and follow Jesus, and we do things that are worth doing. So many people in life are doing things that really aren't worth doing. And sometimes they get to the end and look back over it and say, was this worth the trip? And they decide no. But in Christ we have the opportunity of doing things that bring glory to God and blessing to other people. We get to do things that are worthwhile. Not because we are so strong or so good, but because Christ is in us and is working through us. And it brings joy, and it brings fulfillment, and it brings a sense of worth. Again, it's not worth a sense of worth that comes from our arrogance. It's a sense of worth that comes from knowing that we can be anything, anything God wants us to be. And that we can, because of His work in us, we can do really worthwhile things in the lives of other people. And all of that builds for positive self-esteem. That we are people blessed beyond belief by God in being created in His image, in having that image renewed, and when that image is renewed, then therefore loving and being holy and living out that renewed life in a way that makes a difference in other people's lives. And that is a winning Christian life. Would you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for the knowledge that we have been made in Your image, that Your very image is stamped on our personalities. Father, we ask that You would help us to live that image out, to live in a way that reflects Your image and that is a blessing to other people. Father, we sin, we fail You, we do things and say things that sometimes even immediately we wish we hadn't done or said. Or worse, we do and say things that we never regret. Father, help us to face sin, but to recognize that we face sin in Christ, we face sin as Your people, as Your beloved people who have been forgiven and are being forgiven. Father, help us to have a sense of how much we are worth because of what you have done and are doing and will do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.